Morning, Jay.
How are you,
How was
Jambase?
the
San
sound? So
Bona.
be Siyabonga.
Siyabonga.
Ibajlam, I hope you are born a lifitana.
Wow. Yeah, no, ngiyalibona futhi.
Hayi, ngiyabonga sihlalo.
Yeah,
As long as
as
you're
long as
born, go.
people, yeah. I'm sure we am I correct, Valerie?
What were you saying, Chair?
How many members do we have? Can we start?
Chair, the meeting is only scheduled to start at 9:15 because of we had to
Two
bring
five.
Transnet meeting forward, Chair, if you may recall. I've sent an email yesterday.
Oh, 9:15.
So it's still too early to start, Chair.
Okay, no, let me then get my jacket.
Sure, no problem.
Good morning, Mangete. Good morning, comrades. Good
Morning,
morning, members.
everybody.
Hey, person, good morning. The Transnet delegation is online now.
Okay. Good morning to everybody. As I've greeted, let me take this opportunity to open the meeting officially. Do we have any apologies, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, some members indicated on Wednesday that they are not available today. That is Mr. Hunsinger, Mr. Siklolo. Mr. Chabangu called this morning to say he can't make it as well, and Ms. Noluchungu. But the meeting is correcting. There is, I think, around 8 members present in the meeting this morning.
Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity then to welcome Transnet in our meeting. I can see that we have a co-host by the name of Vusa Linda. You are heartily welcomed, Transnet, a representation from department and our officials. Let me take this opportunity then to allow Transnet to present to us.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the portfolio committee members. My name is Portia Darby, CEO of Transnet. Chair, we've prepared a few slides that would present our position on the ERT bill. But if I may, I'd like to introduce. I think I've got three other colleagues. Vusa is going to help with running the presentation that we have. I've got Advocate Sandra Kutsia, under whom regulation falls, and there's Khumutso Modise, who is responsible for compliance and regulation. And I think there's Mboniso, who is sitting in representing our Chief of Strategy, Dr. Andrew Shaw. So Vusa, if you can go down to the next slide, please. So this is just the topics that we will cover, Chair. If you can move to the next slide, and I'll just talk to each slide. As members are aware, as Transnet, we are basically responsible for we're the custodian of rail, ports, and pipelines. And on the rail system, it's fundamentally the freight rail system, both infrastructure and operations. We also have three other divisions: engineering, which runs our engine manufacturing, remanufacturing function, is responsible for manufacturing the locos as well as the wagons. We've got quite an extensive property portfolio, which in this coming period going forward, we intend to leverage and develop a little bit further than what we have done before, both for as a growth investment portfolio for commercial purposes, but also we want to leverage for developmental purposes as well. And then we have the Transnet pipelines. At present, two of our entities are regulated, and that would be Transnet pipelines as well as TNPA, which is both a regulator and is regulated in essence. This bill would impact Transnet freight rail going forward. Next slide, please. Fundamentally, the slide, Chair, was just talking to our value proposition, which is based on the shareholder mandate that we have. And our value proposition really covers the seven areas that we've highlighted. And I want to fundamentally pause on the issue of the economy, I suppose, is that we've been given a responsibility to reduce the total cost of logistics in South Africa. It is almost an unnecessary fact to state that it's unusual for a manufacturing country of the size of ourselves, which also exports, to have an extensive manufacturing base 700 kilometers from the nearest port. More often than not, economies always locate their manufacturing at the coast, in particular if they have ambition to export as well. Because as your members would know, transportation is a zero value initiative activity. It just is about moving a good from point A to point B, and that's why it tends to be a grudge buy. And hence the importance of ensuring that the cost of transportation is kept as low as possible. Our intent as Transnet is to ensure that we provide predictable and reliable freight movement for all of our customers. And the point here, Chair, being all of our customers. If you look at our financials, you'll find that the bulk commodity movers, and that's why our all lines tend to be amongst the best in the world in terms of operations, as well as in terms of revenue, are perfectly profitable. But the part of the system which is challenged is wherever we move general freight, like Natcor, and fundamentally the other corridors that we have, which move both manufacturing and agriculture, containers, autos, and agricultural produce, struggles to pay the full cost of logistics, of its logistics. And so effectively, the issue of cross subsidies, I think, is long overdue that it is discussed in, and also ensures that there's a formulation that enables it across the system. We are also expected to have a socioeconomic, positive socioeconomic impact, which improves the well-being of communities in which we operate and increasingly communities in which people work in. The socioeconomic impact we seek is from leveraging our operations for the benefit of the communities. As a supplier, we want to make sure that we are not only running ethical, fair, and transparent procurement processes, but that we proactively collaborate with local industry in order to develop suppliers. And also we want to ensure that we have simple and efficient procurement processes that all enterprises, be they small and big, are able to quickly engage with and be able to use us. As an employer, we would like to be an employer of choice as a company, where our people are safe, where there is a democracy in the workplace. And we think it's an essential element to deal with the recent history of corruption that we have, and also to reduce bullying in the workplace, which is often a source of quite profound stress for many people. As a financial partner, we would like to be a reliable and credible borrower. To be honest, most of the borrowers are often quite interested in looking at the revenues of currently regulated businesses, because those provide a fair amount of certainty for borrowers, and with the balance being a little bit more on the high risk in the sense that it's the operations that determine whether we get the revenues or not. For the shareholder, we need to ensure that we provide sustainable financial returns and that we are able to fund ourselves from our own balance sheet without reverting to government. We also need to ensure that we comply and that we are generally a good corporate citizens. Going forward, we have made a commitment that we would start looking at paying dividends. Next slide, please. So when we look at the framework of the Economic Regulation Bill, Chair, to be clear, we are 100% supportive of the consolidation of both of the regulator, which would then cover both ports, air, and land transport. And on us, in our mind, land transport would incorporate both the rail as well as the road. It's a fact, and I know that the view is that Transnet says that because we're responsible for rail. There has tended to be an under-recovery of the full and true costs of trucks in South Africa. But we thought we would also raise the question, is why does this, what then happens to pipelines? Because to our mind, pipelines is a transport, is a piece of transport infrastructure. We have the view that the committee should look at how there might be a closer working together, and in fact, an incorporation, ideally at some future date, of pipelines, as it is, to all intents and purposes, just fundamentally a mode of transport. Our support for the integration into one regulator also lies in the fact, in the point that I was making, Chair, that there are certain commodities which cannot pay their full cost. At the very least, if we want to enable their export, their production in South Africa, and their movement in South Africa, we would need to provide some sort of a cross subsidy for agriculture, containers, as well as autos in particular in the current environment. But so the principle of cross subsidies, we think, is very important. Now, as Transnet, we've tended to speak from the perspective of freight rail, but to the principle holds for passenger transportation. I'm certain of that one bit. Thank you very much. Next slide. Chair, one of the issues, though, that we did want to caution against, being clear that we're supportive of regulation, because in the end, economic regulation is a proxy for competition when a monopoly, a natural monopoly exists, so that there is no abuse of dominant position in the economy. However, the slide at the bottom, the graph at the bottom, just indicates our recent experience with the rail safety regulator, where the cost of our fees to the regulator grew by 20%, 28% annually over a 10-year period, where we were paying 11.8 million in 2011. By this year, in 2020-21, we paid 110 million. Now, you cannot have one single entity funding the entire operations of a regulator. So we wanted to argue as well that there should be a sensible model for how the regulator is able to be funded for its operations, comfortable with the notion of a fee to the regulated entities, but there needs to be some sort of sense between the fee that is charged, because that 110 million, unfortunately, we have to pass it through to the customers and collect it from them. Next slide, please. This, Chair, looks like a busy slide, but we felt that it was important that we were quite clear about the grounding of our support going forward. There needs to be some standardization of the regulatory principles across all of the modes. And we need to ensure that, to the maximum extent possible, the decision making is left to the regulator and is given administrative independence, with a clear understanding on our side that policy is the responsibility of the Department of Transport or whatever the successor is in the future, but it's the policy department's responsibility that sets the policy environment. And it is from the policy environment that the economic regulations are set. But we think that it is actually, and it's not just, it's about posterity and ensuring that there's regulatory certainty, but also regulatory quality. Because at the end of the day, the regulation that you have in the country is what determines your attractiveness as an investment destination in South Africa. Some of the other issues that we wanted to raise, we are already regulated by different regulators, which is NERSA and the port regulator in Transnet. And we find quite divergences and seriously strong divergences on issues like beta, the risk-free rates, which would then go and affect Transnet's calculation of the weighted average cost of capital. So that needs to be resolved so that there's clarity on why the divergence between the different modes of transport. The provision of rehabilitation cost at present is not standardized. In the case of NERSA, there's a requirement that there is an allocation, a cash allocation that's set aside that goes all ensuring that there are resources available for you to rehabilitate. It's not exactly the same on the port side, on the port regulator side. And we think as we bring in the regulator, the requirement for rehabilitation across the system has got to be made consistent with one standard method for how the costs are set aside and secured. Asset maintenance regimes are actually quite important. And we think it's really important that whatever regulator comes in future, and this is based on our current experience in Transnet, where there has been an underinvestment on the rail infrastructure to such an extent that for the next while, the vast amount of our CapEx spend has got to go towards maintenance, is that in future, in the design of the regulatory process itself, there needs to be some category that ensures that the entity, whichever entity it is, ensures that it keeps the asset to its design capacity. I think this is something that the committee and also the rail safety regulator, I think, had started to work on this, but the implementation thereof is actually quite essential as well, without unnecessary or undue, letting somebody off the hook by virtue of the fact that it's a state entity. We should ensure, and that's why the independence of regulators is important, is that you want to make sure that the entity is not protected by virtue of the fact that it has a shareholder close by, that it can make an argument for why it didn't do X, Y, and Z. You want a regulator that makes clear decisions unfettered by political influence or even the power of the entity that is being regulated, quite mindful of our scale and power as Transnet. Then there's what we are calling a reserve margin. This is terminology that comes from electricity, is that there should be a requirement for all monopoly infrastructure providers to invest ahead of demand so that availability of infrastructure is never a constraint for growth. And we think this is an element that needs to be picked up in how the rules for regulation are covered. There's then the issue, the cost allocation methodologies needs to be clarified across the system and as transparent and as simple as is possible. The rate of return determination, regulation of quality of customer service. We don't indicate here the other issue, which is regulation of performance of the entity to some set standard and the monitoring thereof and the capacity for the regulator to effectively monitor that, I think is something that's really important to have. The regulation of information provision between regulated entities and regulators, absolutely important because it makes it the administrative side, if it's standardized, it makes administration thereof much easier. As we've indicated, the issue of regulatory costs, we need to make sure that we manage that quite tightly, and we think the consolidation is quite useful in moving us in the direction of much more efficient costing of regulation. The one other point, obviously, as we have TNPA in our stable, which is half a regulator and half an implementing agent as a landlord developer, a port landlord and developer of ports, we anticipate that this would lead to an amendment of the National Ports Act, because we would anticipate that all of the regulatory functions of Transnet National Port Authority would then be shifted out of TNPA into this successor body, which is the Economic Transport Regulator going forward. 100% supportive of this, and we think that it would ensure that there's clarity of focus. Whenever we've looked at the cases and in both the Competition Commission and the cases that are against us that we have at the port regulator, much of the tension that exists between TNPA and the port regulator arises as a result of a dual mandate in a sense, where there are regulatory powers in both entities and there isn't a clear separation of who the regulator is and who's the implementing agency. The issue of concurrent jurisdiction and potential conflicts between economic regulation of the networks with the Competition Commission, I think that would be important that that's clearly delineated. But so far, we've not found any real problem between the general regulators and the Competition Commission. So, Chair, in conclusion, for us, the DRT bill, when all is said up and done, is about regulating the competitiveness of the South African economy, transport sector, and in particular, is a stand-in for competition where monopoly service provision, infrastructure service provision happens. So as Transnet, we want to clearly indicate that we full-heartedly support the ERT bill, and we look forward to work with the department and with the committee as you go towards the implementation phases and the drafting of the regulations. We would be fully behind the development thereof, because we think it's in the interest of the country that we move in this general direction. I think the next slide, Vusa. Thank you very much. Siyabonga, Chair.
Thank you, Transnet. Thank you for taking time to be with us on this matter. We appreciate that you are shaping the way forward concerning the bill. Let me hear from members whether they want to ask you a question or something. Anybody want to ask a question? Baba Keta Mabala, Lawrence McDonald, the Honorable, Baba Mapena, Baba Mangu, in that order, please.
But Honorable May as well. Thank you,
Chairperson. Oh, Honorable May, you'll be the last one, because Honorable Makosen is not here. In that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter for the information and the input that she made. I have only a few questions that I want to check with the presenter. The first one is that she said the bill will impact the Transnet regulations. If we can elaborate on that one, how this new bill is going to impact on the Transnet regulations. And the other one is to talk about the funding of regulators entities. If actually does she have any idea how to fund the new regulator? Because he's talking about that all the regulator all the entities should be funded. If he can give us the thinking around that one. And the other Chairperson is that one of the, when we check their input, they were talking about the access fees in rail and infrastructure. And then they talk about the caution against taking decision into a situation of imperfect information around the appropriate regulatory model for economy. If you can unpack that one, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. The next one. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Transnet, I'm welcoming the presentation, the short presentation they did on the economic regulator bill. I have a couple of questions. As stated in the presentation, that there was a 28% year-on-year increase on fees to the rail safety regulator. Can you please indicate of the fees increase specifically in the last year where it was 110 million or where they presume it's going to be 110 million, how much of those fees were for non-compliance fines? And then can Transnet please give us an indication on their year-on-year increases in tariffs for containers, 40-foot and 20-foot containers for the year from 2012 until current year? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I see the chairperson.
The chairperson is muted.
Thank you, Chair. Next one.
No, it's not you. It's not you. It is the Honorable Mabena. Yes.
Yes, Chair. No, thank you so much, Chairperson. And I'm glad to see that you're wearing your seat belt. Nonetheless, look, I think the first question that I wanted to ask, I think in part was asked by Mr. Lawrence McDonald. I think the concern there is the comment that seeks to say that the 28% or the nominal 110 million rands will be passed on to the consumers, in essence. The question now arises is, the charges from RR, as Mr. McDonald has asked, were they as a result of non-compliance? If indeed they were as a result of non-compliance, why are then the consumers being punished for in essence, the incompetence of the powers that be at Transnet? And then I see that Transnet has taken a position to say that they would rather be comfortable with the situation where the regulator is the one that makes regulation and not the minister. And then in terms of the cash allocations for rehabilitation across the board, look, I think that is welcome. I think we've seen over the years, especially in other sectors, one that is fraught with this violation is the mining industry, but I think it's also slowly finding its way onto the transport industry as well, that the cash allocations be ring-fenced for rehabilitation and there be financial consequences for companies that do not adhere to the rehabilitation commitments which they have. And then in terms of the Transport National Ports Authority, and seemingly the relief that this bill, when it is enacted in its current form, it will give to the TNPA in terms of it to perhaps stop being a controversial regulator, but to be for it to focus on the development part of things. I think that is fine. That is welcome. But also, one other issue is what will be the envisaged financial impact on Transnet and its operations and its revenue should this bill be enacted in its current form? Because part of the bill obviously seeks to cap the wings of single-player dominance within these specific sectors. And I think in terms of freight rail, Transnet enjoys significant dominance in that sense. So what would be the financial impact on Transnet in terms of revenue in this case? Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very Honorable much. Thank you very much, Chair. Just to reiterate that I think it is time to move to Parliament. For those who have not yet joined us, just as a CEO, thank you very, very much, and your team. My regards in absentia to Dr. Andrew Shaw, he's a former colleague of mine. I think it's not too late, because we don't regularly meet you, to also say congratulations, CEO, on your ascending to that very, very important position at Transnet. Thank you again for the time. As the chair has said, you have taken, and your team, thank you for the positive comments. It always helps to have a balance, you know, of of views around such pieces of legislation. My colleague, Honorable Mabena, has touched on one question which I was going to ask, the impact financially on Transnet if the bill were to go through in its current form. I just want to re-emphasize that. But mine, I want to extend it to the TNPA and the Pipelines Division. What is also the likely, I'd like to get emphasis on those two. Will it be a positive, negative in terms of financial position of the entity? Now, many people who have spoken to have raised issues around the Competition Commission, this piece of bill we are trying to put through as part of this process. I'm inviting a comment as it relates to the Commission, it's rather Competition Commission, if there's any comment. If there isn't, there isn't. Last but not least, I believe that you are doing a business or trying to broaden your business beyond our borders, not only on cross-border movement, but maybe trying to assist other countries. To what extent do you think, if at all, this type of bill would affect your business in those areas? And once more, a big thank you for the elaborate, brief, supportive presentation, and wish you well in that position. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manu. can we request Honorable Manu and Honorable McDonald to lower their hands? Thank you very much. Let's now get Honorable May.
Thank you, Chairperson, colleagues, and Transnet. Transnet is in support of the integration of one regulator. One of the reasons is to reduce costs, seeing that it is 110 million, which is a lot of money. I can understand it. But according to the speaker, it would also attract more investments. Why would it attract more investors if there is only one regulator? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That was the last the last comment. Let's hear from Transnet.
Thank you, Chair. Will, and thank you very much for the congratulations and kind regards. We will try to make it count. I've got my colleagues on the call, so some of the questions I will leave to them to deal with. There are a few points in the beginning which I wasn't quite clear about, which the Honourable Member asked, is that the only area where Transnet has a regulatory role is the functions that are left with the National Port Authority. And that is around the concessioning, some of the operations that they have responsibility for. Our view is that in any event, to ensure that the port regulator is comprehensive in its responsibility and its functionality, it makes sense that we would shed all of the regulatory functions and those go directly to the port regulator. The core of our argument, Chair, is that for the South African system, where in South Africa we do not have any subsidies as would happen in other countries for logistics and transport, the ownership, the cross ownership in one group of a TNPA and the TFR, and to a large extent the pipelines, is quite essential for ensuring that there's cross-subsidization of both the tariff and the development money to ensure that we keep the networks and the systems well looked after and invested in South Africa. Now, if you go to the US, the Navy tends to provide support for dredging. Yesterday, I was in PE and I was asking how much it cost us to dredge, and that's to deepen the port of PE from the current, I think they said 9 or 12 meters, it would cost about 5 billion rand. Now in the US, that 5 billion rand is not on any company's balance sheet. That 5 billion rand would come directly from the state. In South Africa, that 5 billion rand has to come from Transnet's balance sheet. Now we're not complaining. All we're saying is that it's important that that is noted, that that's the case. And so it is essential that whatever we do in the model that we establish, we take into cognizance that in certain instances, the cost of the infrastructure is so huge that you need the other modes of transport to be co-located so that they provide the sometimes balance sheet support, and sometimes you frankly need them to provide the tariff support, because the payback period for our infrastructure, deepening a port or building a quayside wall, you're looking, or berth, you're looking at a 50-year investment. And so technically, you should be drawing out your repayment for that period. No funder exists in the world at present who gives you a term structure for debt, which is that long. So it's the counterbalancing that enables you to get the revenue to be able to pay off. So that's the one of the arguments that we're making. The honorable member raises the issue of the 20% fee increase relative to container tariffs. Khumutsa is going to answer that question, but with due respect, and I can see where the member is going to, is saying, if you're increasing tariffs for containers at that rate, why should you complain about the regulator increasing your fees? But we're making a totally different point. That is a battle we will fight with the regulator around whether we fair. We think that there's justice and equity in and fairness in the tariff that they've charged us as a rail safety regulator. That's not the point that we're making. The simple point, Chair, that we are making is that when all is said and done, you do not want to have a regulatory system that adds to the administrative burden because it's too expensive. I'll come back later to the question that was asked by one of the members, is then how do you pay for it? We're not against being charged a fee for being regulated. Absolutely no problem about that. And actually, we're conscious of the fact that in terms of rail, for the rail safety regulator, there are two entities only that they can charge. It's either Transnet or PRASA. And at the time, PRASA was not functional, so they charged Transnet. All we're saying is that there must be fairness in it at the end of the day. It's an operating cost for us. Members, Khumutsa will indicate what makes up the fee, but as a regulatory cost and not as a fine, because I agree entirely with the members that a fine is a different thing to a regulatory cost. That would go into our expense, our expenses line. So that gets recovered, like it or not, from the customer base. Fines would not be recovered from the customer base because that is a statement of our own inefficiencies, right? So we should take the hit on the bottom line or the profitability as a company. And in effect, it is then a hit directly on the management team of the organization because it should ultimately, fines should ultimately have an impact on bonuses and the rest and the like. Shall I ask Khumutsa just for you to come in on this fee issue, and then I'll come back to the other questions, Chair, that were asked, if you are comfortable.
I'm very comfortable. Push here.
Thank you.
Where is Khumutsa?
Thank you, GCE, and thank you, Chair. On the question of whether these safety permit fees also include contravention notices or contravention fees, the answer is no. Contravention fees would be charged separately to Transnet whenever there are those contravention behaviors. It has been a while since we have paid some, and when we do have the costs are quite minimal compared to the safety permit fee. The safety permit fee is supposed to be determined on the basis of a methodology that was approved by the Minister of Transport. However, that is not the case. The safety permit fees have actually been
determined on an arbitrary or through an arbitrary manner, if I could say that. And the reason for this is because at the time after the methodology was approved, when the DOT modeled the amount that Transnet would pay, the amount came to some trillion rand. And the DOT realized that it would be impossible to expect a permit fee to be paid at that quantum. So they then came up with a number that they determined, and this was not informed by a methodology. And as the GCE has already indicated, this fee has been increasing at a rate of 28% on a year-on-year basis, compounded. And this is going to RSR operational costs. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, if I may, ask Mboniso to... Sorry.
I was just saying to Mem this. She's addressing you by CG, what?
The position is called GCE.
No,
GCE. You're
yeah, no, yeah, but yeah. So it's a bad habit.
No.
I was just saying to her, as she addresses you with that nice acronym, in the portfolio committee, members are called honorable members.
Oh,
that's the only issue I was addressing with you. And
okay,
hey, thank you very much. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. It's we are appropriately chided. We will behave.
Thank you very much,
Chair. I wanted to ask Mboniso to answer the question of the tariff increases for containers for the same period of the tariff.
Thank you, CG. Mboniso.
Thank you, Chisi, and thank you, Chairperson. Just a quick reminder to the committee regarding Transnet's commitment with regards to tariff increases, especially for port containers. If you remember, with the shareholder compact with the shareholder department, we've made a commitment that our tariff increases for those containers.
Where is Mboniso? Why can't we see your face, Mboniso? Thank you very much.
Okay, Chair, apologies for that. As I was saying, in terms of the compact that we enter into with the shareholder department, we made a commitment with regards to the port tariff increases for containers that we will never exceed 6%. In fact, my recollection over the last 5 years at least is that we've been ranging between 5 and 6%. I think in some commodities, we've been charging less increases than that. So we are quite comfortable that we're nowhere near the 28% that Komuto and the HSE were talking about earlier. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mboniso. Meposhia.
Chair, so if I may, just one of the issues before I let Advocate Kutsia answer a few of the questions that are more technical on the regulatory side, is one of the issues that we have to deal with as part of this process, and we've already started that process, is to do a fundamental breakdown of the cost of the rail side, the infrastructure side of TFR, as well as do the same in terms of operations. And we're doing that right across the board for all of our entities so that we can get to an understanding of what in South Africa, because it's pointless requiring us to develop a comparator on efficient costs when you talk about a Thailand, because often we get compared to a Thailand in terms of our costs, as if we have the cost structure of Thailand. So what we're looking at is, given the cost structure of South Africa, and reviewing every single item of cost, and we anticipate that that should take us about 3 years, we should be able to have a comprehensive set of financials and costs for Transnet, which would ensure that no matter what happens, because in a sense, Chair, we're getting ready to be in at least three or four of our divisions, to be a regulated entity. And as a regulated entity, you get allowed a utility rate of return. For the utility rate of return to make sense, your underlying costs must be well understood, and we must reach an agreement between ourselves and the regulator that we could not have done it in any other fashion, and we couldn't but have incurred the cost that we would have incurred. So that we understand is our homework that we have to immediately start to undertake as this bill is being implemented. Chair and honorable members, if I can ask the advocate Khutsia to come in and ask the issue, the answer, the what we mean, so that it's clear what we mean when we say that regulations have to be developed by the regulators. I indicated starting off legislation as well as policy is the responsibility of the department. There's no argument of the policy department. But remember, and I want to just tie back with the point that the last honorable member, Honorable May, was asking the question about why do we argue that one single regulator makes South Africa more attractive? It's because it makes it simple. It's that whole, it ties up with that red tape study, is that when you come into South Africa and you're investing in any of these transport activities or logistics activities, you talk to one regulator who uses one set of rules, who provides you one set of guidelines. And so you're not always jumping from this one to that one to that one, because like ourselves, many entities end up having to deal with a few regulators at the same time. And so that's really the argument that we are making, Chair. If I can, if Chair is comfortable, we can let Advocate Khutsia cover some of the questions.
Advocate? Advocate Khutsia? Ikan Benekom? Portia?
Chair, I'm not sure what is the problem. Khumutso, you will please do me a favor and find her. And in the meantime, I'll continue to the others. Portia's coming in.
Chairperson, Portia, may I just check, has my technology problem been resolved?
What technology problem, advocate?
Chairperson, I understood that I wasn't on audio.
I can see you clearly now. I can hear your voice clearly now. It means everybody can see and hear you clearly.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'd like to speak to question.
Did you grasp, advocate, what Portia was saying you must respond on?
Chairperson, yes. I understood it as relating to the role of the independent regulator, and particularly the requirement to ensure that the principles of economic regulation is consistent and predictable, and what needs to be, what is the role of the legislature in relation to this bill to ensure that the consistency across the modes in terms of principles of economic regulation is adhered to? Because as you will appreciate, the regulators, the independent regulators, apply the principles as per statute. And that is actually our message, that the ERT bill presents a very unique opportunity, not only in relation to the consolidation and the cost benefits and certainty with regard to a single regulator, but it also presents a unique opportunity to provide a transparent set of principles according to which the regulator has to apply its mind. And the slide presented by our GCE in terms of considerations in setting prices is key to, in our view, to be reflected in the bill itself. So that there is certainty across all the modes, there's certainty for investors, there's certainty for customers, there's certainty for the shareholder, and the regulator applies its skill, capability and capacity within a framework determined by the legislature. We wouldn't want that to follow at a later stage and possibly run the risk of inconsistency.
Are you done, Advocate?
I'm done, Chairperson. Can I just check with Portia if there's anything else that you'd like me to touch on?
The issue of the Competition Commission and the regulator.
Thank you, Portia. Chairperson, I can report that just in general, not necessarily only prompted by this bill, Transnet has embarked on a process whereby we are taking preventative measures and in consultation with the Competition Commission so that at all times, recognizing our strong position in the transport sector, that we avoid anti-competitive behavior. However, we find ourselves in a situation where there's a degree of forum shopping, and the same matters are raised at various forums, for example, with the ports regulator and the Competition Commission at the same time. We would encourage and we recognize the requirement for concurrence, but we would want to encourage a situation where there's clarity as to what is within the domain of the economic regulator of transport versus the Competition Commission, so that we avoid forum shopping and unnecessary litigation with third parties, and that we get a focused outcome. The inconsistency, the potential inconsistency in interpretation, in our view, is increased as a consequence of that.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair. So back to the questions, grateful that the Honourable Member is in support of the notion of ring fencing of maintenance costs and rehabilitation costs going forward, so that it's one way to ensure there's sustainability right into the future, Chair. That if that were covered and on a consistent basis across the various regulators between NERSA and this economic regulator, it would be fantastic. On the issue, TNPA post the economic regulatory bill and the economic regulator has, the transport regulator has been established, we become solidly a port landlord. We develop ports according to master plans that we develop and get approved by the policy department and the regulator, with the regulator providing permission for us to earn whatever revenue we're supposed to. And we are monitored and measured by the regulator on our delivery on the business plan that we would have provided. For us as Transnet, given the argument, Chair, that I've been trying to make, is that as South Africa, not just Transnet, keeping TNPA and TFR together is absolutely crucial for us to be able to ensure that we provide the cross subsidies. Members may be aware that the Northern Cape is talking to us about potentially a new port in Bokgabai. From an economic perspective, and from what everybody, everything that everyone is saying, is that that would unlock a lot of mining in the Northern Cape. And as we all know, not only would that generate value for the South African economy, but it also creates much needed jobs in that part of the country. It's absolutely essential. On TNPA on its own, there's no way that we would be able to undertake that investment. And if you had private sector investors, and this is one, sometimes the other issue that you need to deal with, private sector investors invest in spaces where they will make money, and to the extent that they require a particular piece of asset. As TNPA, we would have to put up a plan that would cover long-term needs of government, and we need the coordination. So what we would see is TNPA staying within Transnet and not corporatized, so that there's no, so I'm clear. And I suppose, Chair, I get shot for myself and the fact that I actually said it in public. In as far as the impact on TPL, we don't anticipate a negative impact on TPL. Pipelines is already regulated. We have to comply with the regulatory return. We have to ensure that we invest according to that return in any event, Chair. To get to the point of business beyond our borders, and that's why, I mean, for us, and I think with all of the honorable members, this is almost an obvious fact, is that you cannot grow in a sea of poverty. Nobody ever has. And so it is essential that to the maximum, to the extent that we are capable, without, this law sometimes just leaves you, our responsibility to look after South Africa, right? Is that whilst ensuring that we meet our requirements in South Africa, we continue to look for opportunities, especially in SADC, because growth in the SADC region only benefits us. And let's not lie, even the Africa Free Trade Agreement, there are probably three countries which are the core beneficiaries: Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa, because we are the most developed of all of those countries. But we don't benefit because we're only 60 million people. You need a consumption base. And so the growth of the sub-region is absolutely a critical strategic imperative for South Africa in total. So how do we ensure that the regulation of most of our business is not impacted? Bear in mind, honorable members, that Transnet Engineering, as well as Transnet Properties, port terminals, those would be outside the direct net of regulation. Sure, we'd be competing, but it is in those spaces that we would be able to earn returns above utility rate of returns that we would be held to in the rest of our operations. Incidentally, members, honorable members, we'd be hoping to see for some kindness on your side, in that most regulatory systems actually have both penalties and incentives for efficiency. And we'd like to see ourselves becoming efficient and hope to see some rewards for our efficiency. So we're not worried about our ability to continue to undertake. And also increasingly the work that we do on the continent has got to be done in partnership with the private sector in South Africa. We can't do that on our own anymore. I hope, Chair, and I'd like to ask the rest of the members on our side from Transnet to indicate if there's a question that they think we haven't answered, and please go ahead and answer it. Chair, I assume that we have covered everything, if everyone's quiet on my side. Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Portia. Just two issues on my side.
GCE, Chair, not Portia. GCE, point of correction.
Okay. GCE. You know, I like this point of correction, but when GCE calls me chairperson, you don't say honorable chairperson. I understand clearly, honorable man. It's okay. GCE, just two issues. Before I appreciate your efforts, you have talked about we can't grow in poverty. Did I hear you well?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
I normally don't also give this in public most of the time, but I would want you to consider this issue, even if you don't answer it now, that economically, whatever you are doing in South Africa currently, the majority of South Africans are outside of that process. Whether be it procurement or any other thing. If you look at the stats, that will indicate to you. Now, I was fascinated by your statement of saying we can't grow in poverty. So it would be nice to listen to you and your presentation, although I know that you are not accountable to this portfolio committee, but my take is that you have to do, your work has all to do with what transport is doing. So it will be nice to get a feeling as to, in Transnet, how do you view this thing, and how, what steps are you taking to remedy the situation? As you have put it correctly, I must say I was impressed that you are one official who has raised this matter when the matter was not even brought to you. I really want to appreciate that. If you have any comment on that, you can comment. If you don't have a comment, I will then take this opportunity to say my last word, but let me hear from you first.
Honorable Chair, I frankly, we would welcome having a discussion on this issue. Now, there's the, I was trying to get Ayanda Shezi, who's, I think, was also listening in to indicate what our BBBE, we're level two, first of all, and we've made the decision that we will stay a level two, irrespective of which charter we fall under. Incidentally, if I just may link this ERT bill issue with the charters, one of the things that we are deeply concerned about is that there's such a variety of charters that even as a company, so in our case, we'd have to, the liquid petroleum, the charter is the one charter we comply with, we'd have to comply with the maritime sector charter. And so one of the things that we've been asking for is that couldn't there be a generic transport sector charter, or we comply with the charter under the generic codes at the DTI? Because remember, the core of our argument is that regulation has got to be as simple as possible for people to comply, so that it make it easy to comply, first of all. So we've made the decision, Chair, that we will be at a level two, irrespective of which charter we are at. Now that compels us to spend quite a significant amount of our budget, both on enterprise development, supplier development, and on skills development, just to focus on those three, which are outside, which are not benefits, which are not directly related to how we are and look and feel inside Transnet. And what we have always done, Chair, is to ensure that we meet the numbers on the supply and enterprise development. Now, a question which is fair to ask, and I think it's an important question, and we are asking that question as well. Has our spend in these areas been in the direction that enables small, medium enterprises to become part of our supply chain and our suppliers' supply chains and also the global supply chains? I think we can't answer that question with accuracy, Chair. And it's an area that we will be focusing on, because if we don't do that, we would have lost the opportunity to do genuine industrialization and avoid this thing where we've used BEE that will give you a contract for 3 years and make you go and buy an expensive piece of equipment. And then 3 years later, we take away our contract and leave you with the debt and not be able to repay or be able to have enough of a return for you to make investments in the future. This ties up quite strongly with the work that we're doing, Chair, around reviewing our procurement policies so that we can be able to develop, actually properly develop suppliers from small right through to the anchor I don't know what we call them in South Africa. I deeply apologize that I know the South Korean name of chaebols and the centers of excellence, basically, which are companies like ourselves that we become the anchor of a sector, and then we develop a subsector around our procurement and our strength going forward. But happy to come back and have a discussion on that at some future date, Chair. In as far as the skills development, our training and that staying at a level 2 BEE Chair, we would see our spend on skills development at close on, I think if I'm half right, 500 million rand per annum. And the question that we've been asking is, are we making sure that all of the training academies, because we've got a lot of them, the training and we've also got them located throughout the country, the training academies that we have we leveraged them sufficiently beyond just training for ourselves, but also starting to develop skills broadly in the economy? It's an area of intervention that we're focusing on. In fact, on Monday, we have a new head of the training academy, and it's a gentleman who's joining us from SASL. So we want to see that we are able to prove and show that our benefit to the rest of the community in which we operate and also live is actually clearly measurable in the lives that we change directly, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I hope that satisfies you.
Thank you, Meposhi. I've just forgotten what the Honorable Manu said. I must call you CG.
Honorable Chair, I prefer by and large to be called by the name that my mother gave me, not by accident. I think she thought about it. So Mayor Portia is perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks. Now, let me thank Transnet for their frankness and openness with the committee when it comes to this bill and where they think issues might be. I think we've been listening to you attentively. Our job, Meposhi and your team, is really not to sympathize with you at this stage. So pardon us for not doing that. At this stage, our job is to collect as much information as we can collect, so that as we move forward, we taking into consideration the inputs that we have just made, begin to shape a proper kind of a bill or a way forward in terms of how do we regulate economy in South Africa. I think I also want to raise an issue that I wouldn't have raised at the beginning of the meeting, that you should have actually appreciated the fact that we were very patient with Transnet because we wanted to get this presentation. Even when you postponed coming to us because we had an AGM, we understood because we were very much keen to hear and listen to your presentation. Otherwise, we really appreciated that we were able to meet with Transnet as the rightful department of Transnet, just to hear what Transnet is doing. We really appreciate that. Otherwise, let me take this time to thank you and liberate you from the day's work with the committee. Thank you very much, Meposhi and your team.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you very much. Bye.
On a point of order, Chairperson, it's not Meposhi, it's Honorable GCE.
On the point of order accepted, Mhloni. Okay, honorable members, I think we You have dealt with the presentation. I must indicate to honorable members that we're not going to have Sasol with us today here. And because they thought they do not have anything substantial to can present. And we have since requested them to give us a written presentation so that we don't lose their input moving forward. I hope members understand that. And having said that, members, we have, before we deal with the minutes, we have two issues that I think we need to deal with them. The first issue is the request by the department for a postponement of their response to the portfolio committee that is supposed to be on the 3rd of November. The letter written to me puts the reasons as because of the postponement of submission by the Transnet and Sasol, which was supposed to be presenting earlier on, and they pulled out because of the reasons that you already are well vested with. And before I say my say here, let me hear your views on this request of postponement by the department. Anyone who wants to say something?
Chair.
Yeah, Baba Ketamaba.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, if I hear the reason is because of the postponement by the social. So the question is, if the social that does not fish about, does not come, how the department is going to handle that? Are they saying that to us they are not going to have their report because the social is not there? There's no way that they can report from what they have received and leave the social outside. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe I should also clarify that point. On my self-investigating this matter, I discovered that the department has received the presentations by both Transnet and Sasol sometimes ago. From where I'm seated, the presentation today by Transnet or Sasol does not mean it is only today that the department got their presentations. Not that they have their presentation, which they got some times ago. I just want to raise that point. Let me take Honorable Manu, take Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for giving us that feedback. Well, Chair, it's not surprising, I must say. But I think to be fair, although they are unfair, but to be fair, it would make sense that we accept their request and let's hear them. Because if we push it through, we are likely to get a response that is blaming the ESCOM, it's blaming Sasol, it's blaming COVID-19 and everything. And we are unable to conclude. My submission, Chair, let us accept the request to postpone, and we move on, and then we can close any loophole of any other excuse. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mang. Honorable
Chair, good morning, Honorable Chair. I won't be so diplomatic as Honorable Manchu. I think it is a disgrace that the department uses people that are presented late as an excuse not to present, although they have been sitting with the presentations for quite a while. But it is what it is, Chair, and we can't force them to come here. We will have to accept. But it's been becoming a trend with the department that their submissions is late, that the documents are late, that the presentations are not the ones that they've sent us. Chair, and I'm of the view that as a portfolio committee, we must take a serious stance on this type of behavior from the department, and they must start respecting this portfolio committee, Chair. I thank you.
Bora Madwa, ndi macheloni.
Ndi macheloni avudi mzula chiduru. Thank you very much. Let me start by greeting my colleagues. Chairperson, I would like to align myself with the input by Honorable Mangu and indicate that as we have accepted other requests for postponement, let us accept the request for postponement by the department. We need to be consistent. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. could the two honorable members lower their hands? The ones who have spoken? Baba Mhlonishwa Mapena Asthokoze.
No, Asthokoze. Look, I think it is fine when the department's request for them to postpone, perhaps it is informed by the fact that Sasol has not yet had an opportunity to appear before the committee, even though they might be in position of their presentations. Perhaps they want to hear how they forward some arguments as contained in their submissions, but also perhaps to hear how Sasol might respond if there are any issues which might be raised by the committee. As such, perhaps the motivation is for them to come and do a holistic response and make a summary of all the presentations and respond to all of them. But I think, Chair, we must register. I think at the last meeting, you did indicate quite strongly and sharply that we did not appreciate the fact that we had to be given a runaround by Transnet and Sasol, because initially they were scheduled to present, to make their submissions, I think it was last week, but then they requested additional time. And I think today again, Sasol is not ready. And I think perhaps on behalf of the committee, Chair, through you, maybe that needs to be advanced to them to say, look, this is not a meeting which was just scheduled to say, like, we won't have a meeting today. They were given ample time in advance for them to make a submission and come and advance the arguments contained in that submission in the committee. So I think I would also deposit that let's accommodate the department and then we'll take it from there.
Well, honorable members, I think I've heard you, and I think the spirit with which you are dealing with this matter, it's the right spirit. Let me just say, however, I was ready as a chairperson to put my foot down and refuse this request. And I'll tell you why, so that you know why I would have refused this request if this was in my power as a chairperson. I think we have been raising some issues with the department for some time now, in terms of their response, when we say 30 days and so forth and so on. So it is now becoming a norm that we set a schedule and that schedule is not respected. And I think at some point we must take a view that we have now afforded everybody a chance to settle. And when people are settled, work must begin to be done properly. But I think, as I'm saying, we'll raise this with the department in answering their letter. It means we'll only be able to get a response from the department on the 11th of November. It means your request, honorable members, as we grant it, says on the 11th, we must open an opportunity to deal with the the responses from the department. I think, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, can you hear me, Chair? There are now issues. The committee has to get approval from House Chair that was going to take place on the 3rd. That's number one. It also means there's no agenda item for next week, so there will be no committee meeting if there's no agenda. Also, Chair, the reason why I indicated to you earlier that the 11th is the only other date, it's because the AG's office indicated that they will be ready to brief the committee on the audit outcomes of the department on the 10th. So the committee will have to ask now permission from House Chair to have the meeting on the feedback on the ERT bill by the department on the 11th. I've indicated to you earlier that there is a knock-on effect because at this stage, we're not sure if the committee is going to need to interact with some of the entities on the audit outcomes. The week of the 10th and the week of the 16th, we don't know, but there will be no meetings the next week since there's no agenda.
Okay, the reason why I was requesting you to come in, Valerie, is to raise that point that next week we will lose that space. I think that decision has been taken, but we must then respond to the department and tell them that we are not taking this kind because of the reasons that we are providing, and we are sure that this will be deemed as an effort to align us in terms of the program that we should follow. Otherwise, thank you very much. That item has been dealt with. The second item, honorable members, which I think members have seen, are the terms of reference for the subcommittee that is led by the subcommittee chair, Ubaba Ochambas. I'm sure all members have seen these terms of reference. I don't know if Ubaba Mapena wants to say something. I see your hand up, Ubaba Mapena.
No, Chairperson, I think the hand was from the previous time, but I think as discussed yesterday, the only issue that needed to be that needed to be integrated into the terms of reference was for it to extend in terms of the scale for even other modes, for instance, ambulances and all of those things. And I think it was an issue which was previously canvassed by Honorable Chris Ansinga, and was an indication yesterday by Advocate Nell that such issue would be accommodated. Thanks, Chair. But the hand was from the previous time. Apologies.
Okay. No, thank you very much for even answering on this one. Advocate Nell.
Morning, Chairperson. I have received the input from Mr. Ansinga yesterday. I did include a paragraph just to give us some background on the Ford Ranger conversions, as well as the other Toyota Quantum conversions into ambulances. I've sent the draft, that final draft, through to Valerie, just for Chairperson to have a look at, because the committee did, in essence, already agree to the draft terms of reference. We just had to include that paragraph to extend the scope.
Advocate, I've looked at this thing. I thought I'll be doing justice if I request, if you have this presentation that I have, as to quickly deal with our responsibility as a subcommittee. The objectives you have written, that's number 5. Written objectives. The objectives of the subcommittee. I want to put it on record so that everybody understands. I think it will take about 5 minutes if you read for us those objectives. So that as we allow the committee to go and work, tomorrow there's nobody who comes and say, I did not understand this thing, and so forth and so on.
No problem, Chair. Just to inform members from the draft that they've had, we've included a paragraph 4 that speaks to the other illegal vehicle conversions. It is a short paragraph that covers what Mr. Ansinga already raised. So just give some background by when the allegations were received regarding the Ford Ranger conversions after a roadworthy testing station blocked them from being processed there in Durban, as well as the other allegations that flowed after the public protector's report by the initial complainant, Mr. Henny de Beer, regarding the conversions into ambulances. So we have a bit more background there regarding that. Going into point 5, which is the objectives of the subcommittee, we phrased it as follows. The objectives of the subcommittee on the public protector report on illegal conversion panel vans and other related matters, so that would cover the others, are to consider viable relief measures that the department could implement in order to assist taxi operators who made bona fide purchases and discovered they purchased illegally converted vehicles, unpack policy and legal challenges related to the proposed use of the taxi recapitalization program to address illegal vehicle conversions, while other vehicle owners who are not public transport operators do not receive any state assistance when the vehicles are found to have been illegally converted, invite expert comment on the entire value chain involved in the life cycle of a vehicle from manufacturing to retrofitment to financing or registration by the department, as well as how all these aspects are regulated or monitored, invite expert comment on how the entire INATA system works and who all has access to the data on the system, and to what extent each user has access, as well as how the system is secured from manipulation or fraudulent data capturing and or transactions. Invite comments from stakeholders on the allegations of illegally converted vehicles used to transport paying passengers, patients in converted ambulances, as well as converted vehicles used for the transportation of people, while the original design is for transportation of cargo. determine from the department whether it has plans to address these additional allegations or determine what progress it has made to date to identify these vehicles and whether a process is underway to remove these from the roads, identify and motivate criteria applicable to improve the manner in which the department keeps track of all vehicles used in the public transport sphere in order to improve the safety of passengers and road users, and make recommendations to the Portfolio Committee on Transport in this regard. The subcommittee will continue to be active until the finalization and adoption of the committee report on the public protector's report and matters related thereto. Chair, do you also want me to go through the areas of work?
Yes,
essentially, okay. The areas of work, which is paragraph 6, it is identified as consulting with experts on the manufacturing, financing, and registration of vehicles.
Just a point of clarity, please, Chair. Excuse me for this budging. Sorry, Advocate.
Yes, Honorable Man.
Has this copy been sent to us that the Advocate is reading?
Advocate?
Chair, the objectives, we've only tweaked to add the additional matters. So that this addition that I made yesterday, I don't believe have been sent to members yet, Chair.
The response is yes, except for the addition that was requested on, when was it, Tuesday?
Yes, Chair.
The rest has been sent to members?
Yes, Chair.
That's the correct response.
Chair, shall I continue with the areas of work?
Yes.
Okay, Chair. It's consulting with experts on manufacturing, financing, and registration of vehicles and relevant stakeholders, taking into account the public protector report, as well as any other submissions or presentation regarding the additional allegations of illegally converted ambulances and people mover trucks. Consider whether the measures implemented and proposed for implementation by the department are sufficient to prevent future incidents of this nature. In respect of the obligations by each stakeholder in the value chain of public transport vehicles, as well as ambulances and other people mover trucks, unpack policy and legal challenges that may arise should the measures proposed by the department be implemented. Having considered the relevant policy and legal challenges, identify and motivate criteria applicable to each such vehicle used for public transport, ambulance services, or people moving trucks in the application to register such a vehicle, and obligations expected from each of the players within the value chain, including the target group of vehicle owners, the vehicle registration requirements pre and post sale, the vehicle financing requirements, the vehicle modification and manufacturing specification requirements, the manner in which the department seeks to assist taxi operators to limit their loss in scrapping these illegally modified vehicles identified in the public protector report, and the manner in which the department will deal with other vehicle owners who may have illegally converted ambulances or people moving trucks in order to either ensure safe retrofitment if possible or scrap these vehicles. Having identified said criteria, develop reporting timeframes for the department in which to respond to the recommendations and make recommendations to the Portfolio Committee on Transport in this regard. The subcommittee will also be responsible for any additional tasks or matters related to consideration of the public protector report, as well as other forms of vehicles that may have undergone similar modifications that could leave them unsafe for operation on our national roads, as assigned to it by the Portfolio Committee on Transport.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I think if I'm correct, just to provide some clarity, these terms of reference were adopted on Monday. Am I correct?
Chair, it was an adoption of the draft terms of reference, or at least an agreement thereof, with the provision that we include those additional illegal converted vehicles.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And then on Tuesday, there was an issue raised in the meeting of Tuesday that the drafting of what we had included on Monday should be in such a way that it will not create costs for this exercise, extra costs for this exercise. Hence, Honorable Hansinger was requested to draft a sentence or a paragraph in terms of that inclusion of ambulances. And I think he also was talking about other make except for Toyota. Am I correct, Advocate?
Yes, Chair. The concern was just in how we refer to the work of the subcommittee, but the terms of reference itself was drawn up in such a way that we don't go into it as an investigation or an inquiry that would require additional resources. At the moment, it's phrased in a way that is covered under the committee or the committee subcommittee's oversight responsibilities. And it does give us room and space to call or request for any information, as the rules do allow for the committee in its ordinary course. So we won't need an evidence leader as one would need with formal investigations and inquiries.
Yeah, I was raising that point because I remember Honorable Mangu in one of the meetings had actually asked for a permission to leave earlier. And I thought it is important that as a chair of that subcommittee, we should try and provide clarity on this matter. Otherwise, members, there it is, anybody who has any issue. Otherwise, these are the terms of reference. Honorable Mangu.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'm glad you assisted. The reason I was asking the question I was trying to follow what Advocate was presenting, knowing very well that there's a meeting I couldn't conclude, so I didn't want to take back everybody. However, one of the things that I had not directly raised, and I'm assuming that my colleague, Honorable McDonald, had raised, was the issue of support to the subcommittee in terms of logistics, secretariat, and so forth, that if it could be clarified. And the draft that I have still didn't have that. So that's why I interrupted earlier on. And I'm not sure if that was taken care of, but overall with what has been presented, I don't have any other issue, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. Advocate, the issue of administrative support, how are we dealing with that?
Chair, the terms of reference, we worked on the template that previous committees have used. The terms of reference does not specify the support. That is something that is done administratively, and I think Valerie will be able to assist us with input on that, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Advocate. Long live. Valerie?
Chair, I've discussed this with my manager, and the view is that the subcommittee will use the resources of the committee.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chambers, I hope that that is clarified.
It is clarified, Chair. It is clarified. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mapena has moved that we should adopt this final draft. Baba Mondise, I see your hand up.
Chairperson, I'm sometimes because I have a challenge of serving two committees. I never receive, I don't know, because of the problem of my emails, I never receive any terms of reference on other committees. And I don't know even who's the members of the committees and how many members, because I was not on the committee sometimes because of this clashing of committees. If I can be clarified, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mondis. No, you know, I think if I'm correct, we'll just go to the minutes. This matter was talked about in various meetings until members were elected, but let's refresh this process for your benefit, honorable member, because you have asked that question. Members of the committee, honorable Manu, who are the members of your committee, subcommittee?
Chairperson, it's myself, it's comrade, Honorable MacDonald, Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable Nolu Chungu, and Honorable Ketamabala. I'm reading from my head. I didn't have time to go through my notes.
Yes. Valerie, will your headache allow you to confirm or deny this?
I can confirm Mr. Mangu's recollection. It is indeed so, Jay.
I can also confirm that in the meeting where these names were raised, Honorable Ketamabala was present, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Chairperson, he was.
Yeah. But I think we have refreshed Honorable Ketamabala. You are part of that subcommittee, Honorable Member. The second issue that the Honorable Mondisa has raised is an issue of him being finished with the terms of references, the reference, as we have approved it, the committee will then be finished with those terms of reference. And top of the list will be the chair. And of course, Honorable Ketamabala will form part of those who are going to get the terms of reference. Any honorable member who's seconding the proposal by Honorable Mapena?
I second, Chair. Honorable MacDonald, I second the motion.
I second. I'm tempted. Thank you very much. I'm tempted for record purposes. Babu Mapena, ubufuna ukuthini ba?
Yeah, Chair, I see that you're saying that I am proposing a motion, but it's fine for record purposes. Yes, that is in order, Chair.
No, remember when I said your hand was up, you then came to this matter and you said you don't have a problem with this matter. As it has already included what Honorable Hunsinger had proposed. So that was my take, that you are saying, by so saying, you are saying you propose that it can go. But thank you very much for clarifying that. Baba Ketamabala.
Sir,
you're fine with this matter?
No, I'm fine, sir.
Thank you very much.
Chair,
are you fine?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Bora Madwa.
Chairperson.
Are you fine with this matter?
Isn't that it has been adopted?
I'm taking a view that every member should say their say. That is why I'm asking you, as I've asked everybody.
Oh, my understanding was that after adoption, it means we are saying we align with ourselves with what has been seconded.
Thank you very much. I just wanted that alignment. Thank you very much. I also am happy I align myself with the adoption. Honorable May?
Agreed, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Agreed. Where is Honorable Fikile Khumalo? There she is. Mbulas? Mdunga? Honorable member? The network is a problem, or the problem is me.
Yebo, Slam.
Yebo, ngiyakuzwa mntu.
Mangethe, maybe the problem is me. Ngiyakhandela ngikhona Slam.
Yeah, uthini
uyamukela? I'm sure the problem is in the side of Free State.
No.
Hello.
There's no problem in the side of the Free State. Everybody except you can hear me.
But Sarah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Are you happy? Are you happy with the terms of reference?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. I have rounded everybody that is in the meeting today. Am I correct, or am I leaving out any member? Thank you very much if I'm not leaving anybody. So this terms of reference is adopted by all the members who are in this meeting. Thank you very much. Can we then deal with the minutes?
Jake, can I ask a question before you do the minutes about the meetings of the subcommittee? Will the subcommittee be available to meet during lunch? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Slal, Jambas.
Valerie got cut. I didn't hear. I heard, will the committee be available to meet? Then the network let her down. If she could repeat, please.
I was asking Tuesday, Chair, or Wednesday during lunch hour?
Yes, I've got you clearly, Jambas, Slad.
Valerie, Tuesday, I'm assuming you mean to take the slot where there will be no, or is it both days lunch hour? Because on Tuesday, we have a sitting at 2:00. So lunch hour might be very tight. I'm not sure about Wednesday, but there is a debate on Tuesday. Yes, I would be very comfortable with any of the days, as long as it gives members enough time before the sittings. My preference would be Tuesday, because members would have prepared themselves for the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Valerie, are you answered?
Yes, changes. It will have to be then from between 12:45 and 1:45 on Tuesday, because we cannot slot the subcommittee meeting in the meeting time, unfortunately.
In which meeting time, Valerie?
Chair, remember the committee is not sitting on Tuesday.
Yeah, the committee.
But still, the sub.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm sorry.
So it will be 12:45 then, Chair, till 1:45 on Tuesday.
What we're raising is that the slot which was given to the committee is now open. I think that's what the chair of the subcommittee is also raising.
And so that's why I'm saying, Chair, I don't think that is allowed.
Oh, in terms
because
of...
Because the subcommittee is right. Yeah, it's not allowed. So the subcommittee is normally meet during lunch hour.
12:45 to... 1:45.
Yes, Chair, and that will be for the subcommittee to start looking at a possible program for its work.
Yeah, but do exploit this issue, Valerie, and confirm it because it would make things easier if the subcommittee can just take that slot of a committee. I hear the just confirm the requirements and the legalities thereof. Thank you. Are you done with your questions, Valerie? Can I step off this item?
Yes.
Thank you very much for understanding. Honorable members, minutes of the 23rd of October. I've gone through these minutes. I'm opening the floor for members to can adopt or correct if there's any correction they've seen.
Chair, Honorable MacDonald, I've read the minutes. I move forward.
Honorable MacDonald moves to an adoption. Any seconder?
Honorable Mangu, seconds.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. Can we then, any other matters arising on this minutes, honorable members? Thank you very much. Let's take the minutes of the 28th of October, 27 of October, not 28, I'm sorry. Any mover for the minutes?
Chair, I move, Honorable MacDonald.
Honorable MacDonald moves, any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Wow.
Chair, I second.
Thank you very much, Mdungwa. You must remember you are getting into the records of the portfolio committee properly now. Thank you very much. I think honorable members, we have come to Ngiyabonga. We have come to an end of, okay, Honorable Keta Mabala.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just, Chair, I want some, just a clarity because I see that there is that conference or consultation, I don't know what they call it, of transport and taxi industry. I'm trying to check why the portfolio committee are not been included because it is still happening here.
From whom are you asking that question from, Honorable Keta Mabala?
Checking with the chairperson, did he have an idea what is it, or why we are not being included?
Is there anybody from the department here, Valerie?
Chair, the PLO is on the, is in.
PLO Tandi Mpondo. Tandi? Valerie, are you
telling
us the fact or?
She is logged in the meeting. So yeah, I can only see that she is logged in on.
Okay, she logged herself in the meeting and she's not present in the meeting. Well, Honorable Keta Mabala, I don't know. I don't have an answer, but I can confirm with Valerie that we were not invited. Am I correct, Valerie?
I can't recall seeing an invite, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we come into an end of today's meeting. Let me appreciate.
Chair.
Wow. What is happening? Yeah, what's this?
No, I'm having a suggestion with regard to what has been said by Honorable Keta Mabala.
Yes, what is your suggestion?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
That we can request, we can request, or we may request to whoever is responsible to check if maybe it was not,
not
a invite or include the portfolio committee on the particular conference of tech industry, so that we have an answer, because we cannot just, I mean, leave such a question not being attended. NIT. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think with that, in that spirit, let's find out, Valerie, why was the portfolio committee not being invited? Because when this thing was launched, we were invited. I still remember. Maybe it's a mistake. Otherwise, honorable members, we have come to an end of our meeting. I wanted to appreciate your commitment to the work of this portfolio committee. I know we're not supposed to meet today on Friday, and we had to reschedule a number of other appointments. Yeah, including commitments that some of us could not really reschedule. So I want to thank you very much for that understanding, honorable members. I don't take it for granted. And in good spirit, I also take apologies of the members who apologized prior, like Honorable Hansinger, Honorable Chabangu, and Honorable Nolichung. I am once more inspired by Honorable Mangu for reminding me that he is wearing a jacket on a Friday. So I am also wearing my jacket after being inspired by Uchambas. Keep it on, Chambas. You are a good example. I hope Honorable McDonald also hears this. Otherwise, honorable members, I wish the subcommittee all of the best for their first meeting on Tuesday. We are looking upon you to be doing your work diligently, without fear or favor, Honorable Mangu. Things will be tough, but you have our support as this committee. Hence, I wanted to check with every one of us that is there any problem. So you have our support. Move according to the terms of reference and the areas that needs to be covered. We will always be awaiting for a report from you. as a subcommittee. Otherwise, with the little powers that are vested on me, let me take them and adjourn this meeting and wish all of you a very fruitful weekend. Those of you who are churchgoers, please don't forget to go to church. Those of you who normally play golf, that is your right to enjoy your golf and other things. Don't forget to wear your masks and keep social distance until we are absolutely free. This meeting is therefore adjourned until we meet again. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Long live the Chair. Chair, I'm going to call you. Please pick up your